Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Guest preaching today is Chaplain Ben Quintanilla. Now, let's get into the Word.
So I'm a very interactive type of preacher, and so I'm going to be looking at you in your eyes, and you can feel free to say amen. You can feel free to clap. Do it all. We're ready for it, right? You ready? You're getting ready. I'm seeing that. And so let's do it. I'm going to be preaching out of, let me see if I can make this work really quick. I'm going to be preaching out of 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. The title of my message today is, I Hear the Sound. I Hear the Sound. This is a really long passage of scripture, so I won't read it all. But what I'll do is I've taken three distinct portions out of this passage, and then I'll give you guys some homework to go back home and read the whole chapter. But if you're a note taker and you need some sort of notes and you need some sort of format and some sort of flow, this is what it is. It's going to be a quick breakdown of the biblical background. Secondly, we're going to talk about the problem that the people of Israel are facing in the moment. The next is going to be the proposition that Elijah gives the people. And then finally, it's going to be the promise of the fulfillment of God for the people of God. And then we'll wrap it up. My goal and my hope is that today we can build an altar, that we can come to the altar of God today and give him a sacrifice of praise and worship. That's my goal for today. And that we would all leave here a little bit closer to God. Let me set this up. Let me go to the next one. There we go. Some biblical background of what's going on in the passage that we're getting ready to read. What we find is that we are about 100 years post King David. Right? We know King David was a heart after God, had the heart after God. And so now we're looking at the kingdom of God 100 years after the reign of David. We all know David, David who killed Goliath, David who worshiped the Lord, David who would play the harp for King Saul and the spirits would leave. We know what David established for the kingdom, and now we're 100 years after David, and there is a nation that is divided. There is a nation in the north and the south. And in this current time, you have King Ahab, whose wife, maybe you've heard the name Jezebel. She gets a bad rap every now and then. You have Ahab, who scripture says is an evil man. Ahab actually says is being wicked in the sight of the Lord more than anyone who came before him. So not only is he wicked, not only is he an evil man, he is the most evil than anyone who came before him and his wife, so much so that they're killing the prophets of God left and right. That's what we're confronted in this passage of scripture. Is there a problem? You have to believe that there is a problem. But that's not the main problem that the people of God are confronted with. Because what happens is that this type of division, this type of killing of the people of God and prophets of God allows Ahab to raise up a false god, which is Baal. I say Baal, you might say Baal. A false god, a fertility god, a god that they've known, little g, god of storms. And he was supposed to be the god who brings the rain and causes the crops to grow. That was who their god was. And there was a decree in the land that everybody would bow to this god. We're also going to see that there's a guy by the name of Obadiah. Obadiah feared the Lord. And he worked for the king. Isn't that something that God allowed for there to be an evil king and yet gave him a servant who feared the Lord? We can really take a deep dive into that, but we'll hold it and I'll allow you to do that later on tonight as you're reading through the whole passage. But Obadiah was also responsible for saving, feeding, and protecting 100 of God's prophets in Northern Israel. So as they're killing prophets left and right, here you have a servant of God who works directly for the evil king, and he has saved 100 prophets. The Lord will always raise up a standard whenever the enemy wants to come in like a flood. I'm not preaching yet. We're just setting it up. Give me a little bit of time. And then we have Elijah. Elijah, who is one of God's prophets. His name literally means the Lord is my God. This prophet hears from God, speaks what God tells him, and then walks in the mighty faith of God. I love that the sister came up here and talked about the prophets and the discerning of the spirits. Can I tell you, this prophet, Elijah, was tested time and time again. And what is a prophet? We can make this very mystical and very supernatural, or we can just keep it nice and contained within our current culture. It's a person who speaks God's word. A mouthpiece of God is a prophet. The Old Testament is filled with prophets. It's filled with prophetic books. Moses was a prophet. We get all of Exodus through that. You have Elijah, who was a prophet, but they speak for God. I'm wondering if we have any prophets in the house today who go into their homes and speak God's word over your children, and speak God's word over your wife, and speak God's word over what's going on in your house. You too, I believe, can be a prophet because God's word is alive in us today. Now, but yes, we have those who hold the office of prophet. That's a different thing that they've dedicated their whole life to hearing from God and delivering those messages. And that is what we see in Elijah. Let's go to the next passage. Now we have a problem. Now we have a problem. We have a prophet and we also have a problem. Have you ever noticed that in Scripture there's usually a prophet associated with a problem? Moses was a prophet. God's people were held in captivity. What does God do? He sends a stuttering prophet to set them free. Let's read the scripture. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. So Elijah then presented himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. And Ahab had called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For so it was, while Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah had taken 100 prophets and hidden them, 50 in one cave, and he fed them with bread and water. And Ahab said to Obadiah, go into the land, to all the springs of water, and to all brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive, so that we may not have to kill any livestock. So they divided the land between them to explore it. Ahab went one way by himself, and Obadiah went another way himself. Now, as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, and he fell on his face and said, is that you, my Lord Elijah? So this pretty much sets up what I just talked about in terms of what we see, but there is a problem in the land, and the problem in the land is that there is a drought. The same prophet who comes and opens up this passage of scripture to say the drought is going to end in chapter 17, he's the same prophet that declares there to be a drought. And the reason he declares there to be a drought is because they were following false gods. There is turmoil in the land. There is so much turmoil that their crops weren't growing, their cattle was drying, and their fertility God was not working out for them. Isn't that something? You have a fertility God who's supposed to send the rain, and that God isn't working. Their drought was equally spiritual as it was natural. I wonder at times if we can find any parallels with what is going on in northern Israel with what's going on in current culture today. Can I get an amen? It's easy to start, and maybe we can start there. And then I'm new here, so I still want you to like me, so I don't want to get too much into your business, but I'm going to get just a little bit in your business today. And that's okay. You can just send Pastor Will an email about that later. But we live in a world today where there is spiritual dryness, where there is a spiritual drought, where we call wrong right and right wrong, where everything goes, when we can do anything we want, where we can show up to church on Sunday and come and raise our hands to a holy God, but live a completely separated life on Monday through Saturday. This is what I love about our pastor. He challenges us, doesn't he? So I just thought I'd follow along. I love attending a church that challenges me to live a certain way according to God's word. I love that. Because you can go to churches anywhere in this world and they're not telling you that there is a holy, righteous way to live. To the contrary, live as you wish to live, is what some will say. Are we turning to false gods for provision? Is there perversion that's running rampant in our world? I would say amen to that. Is there violence and chaos all around? Have the people of God fled the scene? Oh my goodness. Have the people of God fled the scene when the people of God are to stand up and share the word of truth, the sword of the Spirit? Are you being challenged yet? Are you more interested? You're going to like this one. Are you more interested with what is your truth versus what is God's truth? I hear that so much these days. Speak your truth. And I think I know the context of where that's coming from. Can I just say something? Can I just gently say something? No, don't speak your truth. Speak his truth. Speak the truth, the word of God. It's here for us. Have we given up on having godly marriages and godly families? There might be a problem. There just might be a spiritual drought in our own backyard. And I'm there studying and praying and writing this, and God is hitting me right to the core. And I have to own that perhaps even in my house, there is spiritual drought. And it's so easy to go down this way. And yet, whenever there is a drought, I said this before, whenever there is a problem, God sends a man and a woman of God to stand up and proclaim the word of God. I'm wondering if there's a man and a woman of God in this place today, you can say amen, who's standing up and proclaiming God's word. When we see our children come in with anxiety and fear, do we put our hands on them and say, fear, you have no place in this house, but I declare over you a sound mind, a strong spirit, hallelujah. When the enemy wants to come into our marriages and bring us apart, what do? Do we just give up and wave up our hands and say, well, it's over? No, it's not over until the Lord says it's over. What God has joined together, no man can tear apart. What word are we speaking? Are we speaking the word of God that says there is no weapon that is formed against me that will prosper? Oh, I know they're gossiping about me over there. Oh, but every tongue lifted up against me will be condemned. If you've been fasting, you understand that you've been in some spiritual warfare this week. Am I in your backyard now? There's a problem. God sends a prophet. The prophet who called the drought is now on the scene, hearing from the one true and living God. And he's saying, hey, it's all right. Good news is coming. Look up to the sky, for I see some rain on the horizon. I'm going to just plant a little seed, but see, before Elijah saw the rain, he heard the voice of God first. Before Elijah saw the rain, he heard from the Lord about the rain. Faith comes by hearing. We walk not by sight. And Elijah is now having to step out in faith. And picture this. You are the only prophet, because you know they're killing all the prophets. 100 of them are hiding, and God is telling you, go to the king and his wife, who will probably kill you. It takes faith to step out in something like that. Many of you might remember growing up or living through the time where we didn't have this Wi-Fi, these satellite connections. What kind of connections did we used to use back in the day? Telephone on the wall, antenna. Yeah? An antenna. And I remember, you know, you have the radio or you have that television and you have got that big old antenna and you're like moving it, trying to get it attuned in the right section under the right frequency so that the voice, so that the sound, hallelujah, would flow through the speakers. When is the last time that the people of God, the prophets of God, have gotten their spiritual antennas out and gotten under the right zone, just the right spot? I believe this is the right spot right here, right under the right spot, on our knees, bowed before a glorious God and saying, God, speak to me. I am here and I'm listening. Ooh, when everything around them looks broken, when everything around them looks chaotic, when everything around them looks like it's going to end, I hear a voice. I hear a sound. I hear a sound of the abundance of rain. And I know there's been a drought. Oh, but the rain is coming. Tell your neighbor, the rain is coming. Hallelujah. I get excited all by myself. I like it. That frequency of the Spirit of God. Elijah says, I heard from God. I heard from the Lord. There was a conviction within him. This wasn't a maybe, I think, I feel, I sense. No, this guy's life was on the line. You know, you got to know that you hear from God. And we step out in faith. But he also did something. He set up a proposition. So Ahab sent all the children of Israel. Now, at this point, Elijah is encountering Ahab, and he's getting ready to deliver a message, and Elijah's going to deliver his own message. So Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. But the people answered him not a word. This is one of those situations where you sit down with your kids and you already know the answer, but you're still asking them because you wanted to come from them. And usually when they're silent, it's because they know they've been caught. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. So let them give us two bulls and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it into pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And Elijah said, I will also prepare the other bull and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord Almighty.
And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken.
I love this. What does this word proposition mean before we go on? Elijah's setting the scene. He says, proposition defined as a statement or an assertion that expresses a judgment or a strong opinion. It can also be a suggested program or plan of action. Many of you in the military might know it as a COA, a course of action. The Latin word is propósito, meaning with purpose. When you say that word, in the Latin word, we get this word proposition, which means purpose. Therefore, it can also mean to make a statement, to make a COA, to make a plan of action filled with purpose. What is a proposition? A statement filled with purpose. And the prophet Elijah makes a statement filled with a purpose of God and with a direction for the people of God. And he says, how long will you falter between two opinions? There's purpose in this question. There's purpose in this statement. He's saying, what direction are you going to go? For those of you that have a big question mark on where you're going next, you got to understand that God has set up a proposition. Who will you serve? Will you follow the gods of the drought, or will you follow the God of the rain? Will you follow the God of the curses, or will you follow the God of the blessings? The God of the blessing. Will you follow the dead, dried out gods, or will you follow all living and mighty God? There's purpose in what he's saying. This word falter, how long will you falter? Literally, it means to limp. To limp. To walk with a limp. Chaplain, why are you walking like that? Because I'm faltering. Chaplain, why are you faltering? Because I'm not on the solid ground. Because I'm not on the rock of ages. Chaplain, what's going on over there? I'm faltering. They walked with a limp. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we walk into places proclaiming the name of Jesus and yet we walk with a limp? This is a good word for us today. For me, it's a good word. And this is the proposition. When faced with a decision, when faced with a limp, when faced with wavering of thought, build an altar. That's what he does, right? He built two altars. Bring the bulls. And the God who answers by fire is the living God. So they pray, the 450 prophets of Baal start calling on that God to set this sacrifice on fire, and nothing happens. Elijah starts to taunt them. Where is your God? He must be sleeping. They start to cut themselves and do all sorts of ridiculousness, and still nothing happens. After the majority of the day had gone, Elijah says, goes to his set altar, rebuilds the altar. Some of us need to rebuild the altars of our life. Some of us have altars that we haven't spent time in and with. Some of us perhaps are now being challenged to build a prayer altar within your house. My wife called it the prayer closet. And he says, pour water on it. As if just fire alone wasn't enough. He says, pour water on my altar. Drench it in water. Just in case you have a doubt that he's a real true God, put some water on it. You know, fire and water don't mix. And he prays to the living God, and God sets that altar on fire. Here's a proposition. What's going on with the limp? Why are you limping? Why are you faltering between two gods? Build an altar. That's what I love about the grace of God, that even when he sees us with our limp, even when he sees us faltering, even when he sees us tossed to and fro, he has a grace and a love that says, I see it. I know what's going on. I still love you so much. Come on, just come back to the altar, because the altar of God is where he meets us. It's a meeting place with the Lord. It's a meeting place. These are difficult things to endure. I'll share a story with you. I'll be brief because I don't know how much more time I have. But it's something when God sets you on a course that is filled with faith. When he asks you to do something that is impossible. And my wife and I, early on, not early in our marriage, but about 5 years into our marriage, after coming off of the mission field from Africa, we decided that we were going to foster children. We were raising orphans in Africa, in Uganda, and caring for them. So we said, when we got back to the States, why wouldn't we do that in America? And so we opened up our house to children in South Dakota, in Rapid City area. And in that time, one of those little children, we got a call. I think it was the first call we got, maybe. And they said, we have a child that's maybe 2 years old, one that's a little bit older, and then there's one that's 2 weeks old. And my wife, the woman of faith that she is, said, let's go with a two-week-old baby. I said, are you sure? She wasn't faltering. She knew what God had called her to do. She knew where God had, the direction God had called her in. She knew her purpose and her calling. She knew this proposition. 2 weeks. And so, the very next day, if not that evening, they bring this two-week baby to our house. Never having our own children. We've never believing God for our own children. And we have this sweet little girl. We raise her. A year goes by. She's still with us. 2 years go by. She's still with us. At 3 years, I have to PCS. That's a move due to work from South Dakota to San Antonio. And the state did not let us bring our daughter with us. So for 6 months, the only daughter we had raised for 3 years is ripped out of our home and out of our hands. And you know, as a dad, I was already her dad. In the spirit, I was her dad. I wanted to do all sorts of fighting that I could do. But the Lord said, don't lift a hand. I remember one day leaving Brook Army Medical Center in my truck, and I'm listening to, his last name is Green, I forget his first name, Travis Green, and there's a song that he has, God Will Make a Way or something like that, or He'll Do It Again. Impossible, yeah. And I'm praying because we had just received some bad news about our daughter. You know, so they're telling us all these things, and she's going from different home to different home to different home. I am mad. I'm angry. I'm upset. I'm getting ready. I'm ready to call a lawyer. Let's get a lawyer. I don't care how much it's going to cost. We're going to fight the whole state of South Dakota, the whole tribe. Let's do it. Literally, that's what was going on. That's exactly what was going on. And I remember the Lord says, this is not your battle. This is mine. Wow, I wanted to falter. I wanted to walk around with a limp and everybody know it. But I had to obey the Lord. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Choose you this day who is your God. Is he really your God? Do you really trust him? That's my baby girl. That's our daughter. And we said, Lord, we surrender. We build an altar. I remember this one Sunday, my wife and I went up to the altar and we prayed together. And we said, God, we don't understand what you're doing. We don't understand why you're doing it, but we give it to you and we trust you. And we pray, God, that you would set this sacrifice of praise and worship on fire, and that you would do something great and mighty. For 6 months, we did not see our little girl. For 6 months, they told us it was over. For 6 months, they said, there is no hope. For 6 months. Finally, a week or two before Christmas, we get a call. Joanna gets a call from Emerald's attorney. Emmy had her own attorney through all the foster care system. And they call her and they say, hey, the tribe is relinquishing their rights. Do you want to come get her now, or we can get her to you in February? It's December at this time. I said, nah, we're going tomorrow to go get our baby girl. Hallelujah. Yes. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. Who is your God? Do you trust him? Do you have faith in him when he says, don't fight, when you know you want to fight? The Lord is speaking to somebody right now. I can't get off of this. There's somebody in this room who wants to fight, and you want to put it into your own hands, and you have the strategy, and you have the means, and you have the ways, and God is saying it's not your fight, because if you do it, you get the glory. But if you let him do it, then he gets the glory. And he sets that on fire. Let's move on, let's move on, let's move on. I can stay on this, but I got to move on. And then there's the promise. The prophet opens the passage saying the drought will be over. And here's what he says. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. If you've been hearing from the Lord in your spirit, if you're tuned correctly to the Lord, you're hearing what God is saying, that there's an abundance of rain that's getting ready to come. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees, kind of like this. I believe he did that because he wasn't going by sight, but he was going by what the word of the Lord and what he had told him to speak. And he said to his servant, go up now, look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. Now you're just looking foolish. Now you're just telling people that God told you he was going to do something, and you've sent them out to do it 7 times and he hasn't done it. Now you're just looking foolish. And now you really begin to wonder, God, did I really hear from you? God, is this really you? Lord, did you really say, don't fight this fight? There is nothing. And seven times he said, go again, go again, go again. Somebody needs to hear this word, go again. I know you've tried 6 times. Go the 7th time. I know you've tried to beat this addiction 1,000 times. Go 1,001. I know you've tried to restore your marriage 10 times. Go the 11th time. A righteous man falls how many times? But he gets back up again. Hallelujah. Is the Lord speaking to anybody today? I know you've thought about that business and you've tried it once or twice, and the Lord's saying, go again. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
And it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. 45. Now it happened in the meantime that the skies became black with clouds and wind, and there was not just rain. Don't you love that we serve a God who just doesn't do it? He does it above, abundantly, more than we can ask or think of. Heavy rain, heavy rain, heavy rain. I'm here to speak to somebody who's getting ready to give up. I'm here to speak to somebody who has given up. This is what Habakkuk 2:3 says. It says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, come on, though it tarries, wait for it because it surely will come. Wait for it. Wait on it, though it tarries. Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie. Man will lie to you. Woo, hallelujah. Some of y'all have had people lie to you over and over again. But God is not a man that will lie, nor the son of man that he would repent. Has he said it? Then he will do it. Luke 5:1-11. I love this scripture. And I'm getting ready to close and wrap this thing up. He says, the disciples had been out fishing all night. All night. And they come up upon Jesus that morning after they're tired, they're done. The nets are cleaned, they're washed. Let's go. It's time to go sleep. And Jesus says, go out again. God, we've been out all night. Verse 5. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. But nevertheless, hallelujah, I like that word. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And you know what happened next? They had so much fish, they got to call their friends over and give them fish away. Nevertheless, we need some people who understand this word, nevertheless. The doctor says it's cancer. Nevertheless, I believe that God is a God of healing. My bank account says it's empty, but nevertheless, I believe in Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Come on, somebody. Oh, I feel the Spirit of God rising up, faith in this place. My marriage is totally falling apart, but nevertheless, I'm fighting for restoration. My child, my daughter, my spouse is gone. They've left. They're lost. Nevertheless, I'm waiting for that prodigal son moment when they're coming back. Hallelujah. Somebody is coming back. Nevertheless.
Thank you once again for listening to Chaplain Quintanilla's message. We hope it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. Join us next Sunday as Pastor Will begins a new sermon series on spiritual gifts. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.